When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Dead America. Tales from the Front Lines. The Raid. By Derek Slayton. Chapter 1. Day 0 plus 7. Belen Regional Airport, 14 miles southwest of Las Lunas, New Mexico. Sergeant Kelly strode along the grassy expanse beside the small runway of the regional airport. The airstrip appeared strangely untouched, its surface bearing minimal signs of wear from the infrequent flights that once landed here. In normal times, travelers would opt for Albuquerque Airport, a brisk 30 miles to the north. He stood there, cradling a lukewarm cup of instant coffee that one of his men had generously parted with from their rations. It struck him as odd that a soldier would give up such a precious commodity, but these were far from ordinary times. Over the past week, Kelly and his men had waged a harrowing battle for survival against the hordes of the undead. Kelly himself had narrowly escaped becoming one of them when a creature had lunged at him just inches from his flesh a couple of days ago, outside Wichita. He shook his head, attempting to banish the memories of that gruesome encounter. While he counted himself fortunate to still be standing, some of his comrades hadn't been as lucky. He had first-hand experience of the relentless ferocity of the enemy, and he understood that, despite their best efforts, the numbers of the undead were growing. However, the previous day had brought a temporary respite. While other units constructed barricades outside Wichita, Captain Nelson had ordered his men, along with 100 others, to this remote airport for a mysterious mission. Before he knew it, they were airborne, whisked away to New Mexico, a journey spanning 500 miles. While his young squad had been on edge, Kelly remained remarkably composed. Confusing orders were nothing new to him, and at this point, he harbored little hope for success against the relentless tide of the undead. As Sergeant Kelly continued to sip his coffee, taking in the picturesque landscape of New Mexico, Private Wallace jogged up to him. "Sergeant Kelly, there you are. Been looking all over for you," Wallace said. Kelly turned his attention to Wallace. "Sorry, Wallace," he replied. "Just enjoying the scenery while we have some downtime. What is it?" A few distant gunshots echoed in the air, startling Wallace, but Kelly remained unfazed. "Don't worry, Wallace," Kelly reassured him. "We're a couple miles off the highway, and it's not that populated out here. Snipers are just making sure the stragglers don't bother us." Wallace nodded, and the two of them began making their way back to the hangar, which lay a couple of hundred yards away. "I'm just glad those things have slowed down," Wallace admitted. "Remember," Kelly cautioned, "they're not all slow. Some of them can move surprisingly fast, especially if they're fresh." "Can't be that many people left out there to become fresh ones, though, right?" Wallace inquired. Kelly sighed, his gaze fixed on the horizon. "There are probably more than you think, Wallace. More guns than people in this country, so someone is out there fighting back. You saw it firsthand in Kansas. How many civilians took shots at us as we went through?" "Yeah," Wallace acknowledged, "but they lived in Kansas. There's only like 12 people who live there." Kelly cracked a smile, shaking his head as they walked. "That's true, Wallace. That's true." "So, are the men geared up and ready?" Kelly asked. Yes, sir, we are, Wallace confirmed. Corporal Howard put us through our paces half an hour ago. Good, Kelly nodded, his expression growing more serious. Because I don't think the military flew us all the way out here, just to take it easy. I get the sense we're in for a long day. Wallace felt a pang of unease at the prediction, but Kelly placed a reassuring hand on his shoulder. Don't worry, Private. We'll be all right. Wallace nodded, finding solace in his sergeant's words as they entered the hangar. At the back of the hangar, a pickup truck was parked against the wall. In front of it, 100 soldiers were clustered into their respective squads. Some engaged in quiet conversation, while others seized the opportunity to enjoy their morning rations. Kelly and Wallace made their way to their team in the far corner. Corporal Howard diligently supervised as the men inspected their weapons. Private Palmer meticulously cleaned his rifle, while Private Sutton and Manning loaded additional magazines with ammunition. How are we looking here, Corporal? Kelly inquired. Looking good, Sergeant, Corporal Howard replied. They just came around with some extra ammunition for the mission. Wallace chimed in. How much? Should be 2 extra mags and a half for each of us, Sutton reported. Better than nothing, I suppose, Wallace conceded. Howard couldn't resist poking fun. With the way you shoot, Wallace, that'll buy you what? 2, maybe 3 more kills? Laughter rippled through the group as Wallace adopted a defensive stance. You said to lay down suppressing fire, so that's what I did. A week ago, it would have worked. Sutton joined in the banter. A week ago, I was leaving the base on a 3-day pass with that hot bartender from the sports bar. Palmer interjected. Wait, which one? The tall or short one? Sutton clarified, the short one. Palmer's lips curled into a sly smile. You and I have very different definitions of hot. Anybody ever tell you that you're a dick, Palmer? Sutton retorted. Manning chimed in. Just everybody from his mother, right on through to his 8th grade teacher, and everybody in between. Palmer teased. Only up to my 8th grade teacher. Manning grinned mischievously. Figured that was where your education stopped. But honestly, might be overestimating it. Laughter resounded, even from the sergeant, who gave Palmer's shoulder an approving pat as he began to rise. I'd quit while I was ahead, Palmer. Sutton added, that's what his 8th grade teacher said, too. Amid the camaraderie, Palmer shook his head and returned to meticulously cleaning his rifle. As the soldiers settled down, a loud whistle pierced the air, drawing their attention to the back of the hangar. They turned to see Captain Nelson confidently climbing onto the hood of a vehicle. It took a moment for the captain to find his balance, but when he did, his powerful voice resonated throughout the hangar, immediately capturing everyone's attention. All right, everybody. Push in a little so those at the back can hear, Captain Nelson declared. He paused briefly while the soldiers complied. Okay, I know that it's been a whirlwind, 24 hours, going from Kansas to here, and I want to address the question that's no doubt on everyone's mind. Just what in the fresh hell are we doing in New Mexico? He continued, his words accompanied by a smattering of laughter from the crowd. He waited a moment before pressing on. Someone way above our pay grade decided that one of the major focuses of the military going forward is to distribute goods to survivors who are scattered throughout the country, Captain Nelson explained. Apparently, they've been able to locate clusters of survivors, and they want us to go way off the beaten path and bring them supplies to help them get through the winter. This announcement was met with some grumbling from the soldiers, but Captain Nelson raised his hands to calm them down. I know. Believe me, I know. I fought against this assignment hard, he admitted. But General Stevens was insistent. I know you all are like me, and would much rather be beside our brothers and sisters fighting in Kansas, but this mission has been deemed a necessity, and we're going to do it. Captain Nelson motioned to a few soldiers, instructing them to start distributing packets of paper. Coming around to you now are mission details, he announced. Not just the overall mission, but your individual squad objectives. Sergeant Kelly grabbed his packet, opening it up to reveal a map marked with arrows pointing towards a large, seemingly empty area on the outskirts of town. Flipping to the next page, he found a hand-drawn diagram of a building, a supercenter distribution warehouse. "In order to achieve our mission, we need to take this building," Captain Nelson emphasized. "This is the supercenter distribution warehouse, which up until recently serviced all of the stores within a few hundred miles of here. Our hope is that it is still well stocked and has the trucks we need to get the goods to where they need to go." Nelson turned to page 3 in the packet and held it up. "Need everybody to turn to page 3. Here are projected enemy force numbers, which are significant according to recent satellite imagery. If we execute the plan, we'll be fine." Sergeant Kelly shook his head while reviewing his team's objectives. Howard noticed the expression on Kelly's face and whispered to Wallace, "I've seen that look before. This is about to be a shit show. We will be in close proximity to Las Lunas, which is a glorified suburb of Albuquerque," Captain Nelson continued. "So when we start making a racket, we're going to have uninvited guests. Three teams have an additional objective, which is to secure and hold the Interstate 25 bridge. Satellite imagery shows a lot of activity in Las Lunas. So do what needs to be done." Corporal Howard leaned in towards Kelly and spoke quietly, so as not to disrupt the captain's speech. "We're on the interstate detail, aren't we?" Kelly could only nod slowly. "Shit. Okay, troops. We're going to be landing to the north of the warehouse, airdropping in so that we avoid the mob," Captain Nelson explained. "The warehouse is on the edge of civilization, so we will have a clear approach. Look over your packets. Find me if you have questions. Liftoff is in 30. Get prepped so we can knock this out. Let's move like we have a purpose." The soldiers responded with a chorus of "Yes, sir," although many of them wore expressions of concern. Sergeant Kelly glanced at his men, and they were among those who weren't exactly thrilled with the mission. "So we're risking our lives to be glorified delivery drivers," Private Manning quipped. "Well, at the moment we're glorified personal shoppers," Private Palmer added with a wry grin. "I think the delivery driver portion comes later. With what they pay us, it's no wonder we need two jobs to make ends meet," Private Sutton grumbled. "So, how bad is it, Sarge?" Private Wallace inquired. Kelly sighed. "Well, Wallace, we're getting our work out today. There's a breakout office building in the southeast of the property that we're to secure so that the snipers can patrol the area." Private Palmer raised an eyebrow. "Six guys to secure an entire building? From the looks of the satellite view, it's small, so we should be able to handle it," Kelly replied. "What's after that?" Corporal Howard asked. "We're to proceed to the bridge to secure it. There's a supercenter right off the exit, so there will be a fire team up there. Our job is to get cars from the parking lot and get them to the bridge and lock it down as best we can." Private Manning looked concerned. "How far away is the bridge from the warehouse?" Kelly thought for a moment. "A mile, give or take. So there's a solid chance we'll have visitors from the other side of the bridge." Corporal Howard couldn't help but ask, "Don't suppose we have any explosives to help us out?" Kelly shook his head, afraid we're on our own for that one. Private Wallace chimed in. "I can do some light shopping at the supercenter if you want, Sarge. Assuming they have any ammunition left, I should be able to whip up something quick and dirty." Kelly considered the suggestion. "Let's keep that in our back pocket for now, Wallace." Wallace gave Sergeant Kelly an approving nod. "Okay, do what you need to do. Meet at the plane in 10, Kelly instructed. The soldiers nodded in acknowledgement and dispersed to make their final preparations for the impending assault.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. so you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Chapter 2. The large cargo plane soared through the turbulent skies, its belly packed with 50 soldiers, each of them itching to return to the battlefront. They'd been pulled from the front lines in Kansas for this mission, and their frustration simmered beneath the surface. Sergeant Kelly and his team occupied the plane's front, waiting in line for the exit point. Their faces remained composed, concealing the anticipation coursing through their veins. A voice crackled over the loudspeaker, breaking the tension. "Drop zone in 30 seconds," the pilot announced. The cargo plane's rear opened wide, revealing a harrowing view of the world below. Soldiers double-checked their gear and the parachutes of those in front of them. The countdown felt like an eternity, but when the light turned green, soldiers began leaping out into the open air. As they descended, a grim tableau unfolded before them. The interstate lay below, its lanes filled with shuffling corpses. Beyond, the city of Las Lunas loomed like an impenetrable fortress of death, despite its suburban appearance. A short distance away, the Supercenter distribution warehouse sprawled out, a massive facility surrounded by hundreds of zombies in its parking lot. Captain Nelson had taken precautions to ensure they landed far from the compound, almost a mile away, to avoid any wind-related mishaps. Despite that, a few soldiers had landed uncomfortably close. As Kelly and his men descended further, distant gunfire signaled the efforts of those on the ground to secure their position. It appeared that some soldiers were lining up at the outer fence, shooting through it to thin the ranks of approaching undead. Moments later, Kelly touched down on solid ground, immediately securing his parachute. His team quickly joined him. "Stay to the eastern side of the compound. Only use your ammo if necessary, and if it's not your objective, don't waste it. Understood?" The chorus of "Yes, sir," met his ears, and he nodded in acknowledgement. "Okay, let's move." Kelly led his men briskly, laden with gear, towards the outskirts of the compound. To their right, a massive battle unfolded. A group of soldiers had advanced into the parking lot, which was cluttered with vehicles. Some stood atop the cars, firing at close range into the surrounding sea of creatures. Their comrades picked off the undead from behind in a risky but effective strategy. Ahead, a team struggled at the fence, using wire cutters to gain entry. Three soldiers cut while the others provided suppressing fire. "Why aren't we through yet?" Kelly inquired. "Too many of those things. Have to stop and shoot," one soldier replied. "Manning, Sutton, on the firing line," Kelly ordered. The two privates moved up to the fence, hesitating as they saw the horde before them. Hundreds of creatures shambled towards them, 50 yards away and closing. Bullets dropped them, but they were quickly replaced by others. After a shaky start, Manning and Sutton regained their composure and began hitting their targets. Finally, three holes in the fence allowed soldiers to slip under. The cutters took a kneeling position on the other side and opened fire. "Sutton, Manning, on me," Kelly called. The two soldiers left the line and joined Kelly inside the fence. He glanced at the other squad leader. "Keep drawing them this way so we can get around. If any break away to follow us, take them down. If they get too close to you, retreat through the fence." "Our orders are to press on through to the building," the soldier protested. Kelly's response was firm. "I wasn't giving you a suggestion, soldier. I don't want any runners coming up to bite me in the ass." The soldier nodded, and Kelly turned to the front of his men. "We're going to have to pick up the pace. Nobody fire on them. Now let's move. The soldiers ran alongside the outer fence, doing their best to outpace the horde before it noticed them. A couple of creatures broke away towards them, only to meet a swift demise as bullets found their mark. The journey alongside the warehouse was long, with a 20-yard gap between the building and the fence. They encountered only a few stragglers, which Palmer and Sutton dispatched silently. Kelly was cautious not to alert the zombies, given the noise from the battle at the rear of the building. Reaching the edge of the warehouse, Kelly held his squad back, surveying the scene ahead. A massive concrete parking lot lay before them, teeming with zombies. Some wandered toward the warehouse, drawn by the gunfire. Cars were scattered everywhere across the lot, leading to their target. The office building, which looked much larger and more daunting than the satellite photo had suggested. Have to admit that satellite photo made it look a lot smaller, Corporal Howard commented wryly. The building stretched out before them, a formidable three-story structure spanning 100 yards across, its glass windows smeared with blood, visible even from this distance. Sergeant Kelly reached for his radio. Captain Nelson, do you copy? He spoke into the device. After a brief pause, Captain Nelson's voice crackled through. Go for Nelson. This is Sergeant Kelly. My team is in position at the southeast corner of the building. Heavy resistance on this side parking lot. Hundreds of those things, Kelly reported. Copy that, Sergeant. And your objective? Captain Nelson inquired. In sight, sir, Kelly confirmed. Good. Let me know when the building is secure, the captain ordered. Yes, sir. Kelly tucked away the walkie-talkie. Okay, we're getting inside, clearing the first floor and locking down the second and third floor doors to clear a path to the roof, Kelly instructed his team. We're not clearing the entire building, Corporal Howard questioned. Not unless you particularly want to, Corporal, Kelly replied. Hell no, just wanted to confirm, Howard affirmed. Let's move, Kelly ordered. The squad emerged from cover, sprinting across the parking lot toward the building. The movement attracted the attention of nearby zombies, which began shambling in their direction. Ignore them, Kelly commanded. He didn't want to risk unnecessary gunfire. As they reached the building, even without lights inside, they could see the chaos within. Desks were overturned. Corpses lay strewn about and blood stained the cheap carpet. Kelly focused on the task at hand. Palmer, door, he directed. Private Palmer swiftly went to work on the door, producing a heavy-duty drill from his bag and drilling into the lock. The noise drew more zombies from the parking lot. We have more guests coming our way, Private Manning observed. It won't be an issue if Palmer can get the door open, Kelly replied. Palmer's efforts finally paid off. We're in, he announced. As the team entered, Manning and Palmer dragged a sofa over to block the door. Before they could complete their makeshift barricade, gunfire erupted from the next room. Both privates rushed inside, joining their comrades in a fierce firefight. Muzzle flashes illuminated the darkness as they opened fire. Moans echoed from all directions, making it challenging to discern what was happening. Kelly sprinted toward a cubicle with Manning and Palmer close behind. The three of them reached the outer wall, hopping onto desks to find targets. Flashlights, now, Kelly ordered. Both privates retrieved their heavy-duty flashlights and illuminated the room. The sight that met their eyes was horrifying. 50 ghouls were still standing, slowly advancing from a central area in the sea of cubicles. With the extra light, Kelly and the others systematically picked off the undead, bottlenecking them into a manageable kill zone. In a matter of minutes, silence descended upon the room, leaving a pile of corpses strewn across the office. What the hell was this place? Why are there so many of them in here? Private Wallace asked. Corporal Howard made his way to the center of the room and climbed onto a desk for a better view. His expression turned grim. Looking down, he saw that several cubicles in the middle of the room had been dismantled, creating space filled with blankets, pillows and provisions along the edges. Somebody who works here must have realized something bad was going down out there. So they brought the whole neighborhood here, thinking they'd be safe, Howard explained. It didn't quite work out that way, Wallace muttered. Yeah, no shit, Wallace, Howard retorted. Next thing you're going to tell me is that the sun rises in the east. Wallace rolled his eyes and walked away. Sergeant Kelly took charge again. Okay, Wallace. Manning, make sure that front door is secure, at least good enough to hold out until the sniper team arrives and clears the way. Sutton, Palmer, make sure there are no other entrances to the building. Then start setting up the barricades on the stairwell doors. Corporal, you're with me. Kelly and Howard proceeded to the back corner of the building, finding the stairwell. Kelly opened it, and Howard stormed through, gun at the ready. Relieved to find it empty, they cautiously ascended. On the second and third floors, they encountered makeshift barricades on the doors. Desks had been brought up the stairs and placed against the doors. Guess they knew they were in trouble, Howard said. Too late, I'm afraid, Kelly retorted. They looked around, spotting a ladder leading to a roof hatch. Got the hatch. Corporal, you get that open and I'll call it in. Then it's time for a trip to the interstate, Kelly said, looking ahead to the next phase of their mission. Chapter 3. Sergeant Kelly and his men found refuge on the first floor of the office building, peering out of a window. The sound of gunfire behind them lured the majority of zombies away, leaving the area around the building relatively clear. They watched as the chaos unfolded outside. Corporal Howard approached them, his presence drawing their attention. Stairwell is fully secured, Sarge, he reported. Sergeant Kelly inquired, did it need much work? Howard replied, nope. The people down here did a pretty good job of securing the doors, which is good because it sounds like there's a ton of those things on the upper floors. Somebody else's problem. We have enough on our plate, Kelly remarked. A few moments passed, and the last few zombies near the front door were taken down. Kelly stood up, signaling for his men to do the same. Halfway home, boys, let's finish it up, he urged. The front doors opened, revealing a dozen soldiers outside. Most of them held high-powered sniper rifles, while a few others took care of approaching zombies. It's all yours. Just don't open the second and third floor doors, Kelly cautioned. The sniper team leader seemed perplexed and asked, I thought this building was supposed to be secure. Kelly reassured him, it is secure. The threat on the upper levels is contained, and you have a clear path to the roof. With a nod, the sniper team leader gestured for his team to enter, but he didn't utter another word, leaving Kelly somewhat irritated. You're welcome, Kelly muttered sarcastically. However, his remark fell on deaf ears as the sniper team proceeded inside. Kelly shifted his attention back to his team. He pulled out a map, confirming their next move. Come on, we have to huff it over to the intersection. The men nodded and made their way outside, gunfire filling the air both inside and around the warehouse. Private Wallace remarked, sounds like they have a fight on their hands in there. Given how much noise they're making, so will we, added Private Sutton. The men sighed, then quickened their pace, heading to the outer fence surrounding the compound. A couple of soldiers with bolt cutters had created a path for them, giving a subtle nod as the squad slipped through. With the supercenter a mile and a half away, they could already see it on the horizon. Even as they distanced themselves from the warehouse, the echoes of gunshots continued to reverberate. As the squad got within a couple of hundred yards of the supercenter, they spotted the intersection on the other side. Movement filled the parking lot and the bridge over the interstate. Dozens of creatures shuffled about, and several packs were huddled over certain spots in the parking lot. Kelly halted his group as he noticed potential trouble ahead. Private Sutton inquired, "What is it, Sarge?" "Binoculars," Kelly requested. Private Palmer handed him a pair, and Kelly focused on one of the packs of creatures. Half a dozen of them were kneeling in the same spot, and after a moment, he saw it. A leg dressed in military fatigues, sticking out. Shit, Kelly muttered. Private Palmer asked, what is it? Looks like the fire team got overwhelmed, Kelly replied. He handed the binoculars to Corporal Howard, who scanned the other groups of ghouls and confirmed the same grim sight. Kelly reached for the radio. Captain Nelson, do you copy? After a brief silence, the radio crackled to life. Go for Nelson, came the response. This is Sergeant Kelly, and we're at the supercenter. The fire team has been overwhelmed. No signs of survivors. Another pause preceded Nelson's reply. Is your team intact? Yes, sir, Kelly confirmed. I want you to secure the supercenter and draw as many of those things to you. We're facing stiffer than anticipated resistance and can't risk a second front. I'll send reinforcements when I can. Copy that. Kelly out, he acknowledged. Turning to his men, Kelly spoke with authority. New orders. We're to take the supercenter and become the decoys. Corporal Howard inquired, how do you want to play it? Kelly motioned for the binoculars again, taking a longer look at the building. He could see the loading docks with a couple of trucks and one bay, partially open, with a few dozen zombies scattered about. Open bay on the loading dock. Moderate resistance. We push through them, get inside, and secure the building. Private Manning inquired, what about the roof? We should have interior access on the loading dock. When we get inside, I want Sutton and Manning to secure that hatch and get up top. I want eyes on the interstate and parking lot. Both men nodded in agreement. Kelly continued, Howard, Wallace, head to the gun section. We're going to need those explosive devices. Palmer and I will head to the front to try and secure the doors. Understood, sir, they all replied in unison. They quickly reached the edge of the loading dock parking lot. As they prepared to move forward, the zombies turned and noticed them. Kelly led the way, firing his weapon at the nearest target, tearing a portion of the creature's head off. The rest of his team joined in, and a hail of bullets eliminated most of the creatures in the loading dock. Some zombies at the far end of the lot were approaching, but they were not an immediate threat. Approaching the open bay, Kelly suddenly stopped, spotting fresh blood on the ledge. We might have a runner, he warned. The mere mention of a potential runner sent a shiver down the spines of every man in Sergeant Kelly's squad. Shamblers were already a formidable threat in numbers, but a single runner had the potential to wreak havoc on the entire team, if not dealt with swiftly. As Kelly was about to hop up into the storeroom, a zombie emerged from the darkness inside, emitting an excited moan as it reached down toward him. Private Sutton acted quickly, seizing the creature's leg and yanking it forcefully. The zombie tumbled backward, its head colliding with the concrete floor before being dragged entirely outside. Sutton finished it off with a forceful boot stomp. Sergeant Kelly nodded appreciatively at Sutton's quick action before swiftly leaping onto the bay, standing upright and aiming his rifle into the dimly lit space, illuminated only by the open bay door. Next up was Manning, who pulled out a flashlight and swept its beam around. He spotted a couple of creatures shambling toward them a few yards away, keeping the light on them as Kelly dispatched them with well-placed shots. To their relief, the rest of the loading dock appeared empty, at least of standing zombies. There were a few lifeless bodies strewn about, leading to the main set of double doors into the store. Kelly signaled for Sutton and Manning to locate the ladder leading to the roof at the back wall. As they moved away, he led the others toward the back door, all of them keeping their rifles at the ready. As they approached the doors, they noticed some light seeping through the swinging double doors. Kelly wasn't sure if it was emergency lighting or if there were skylights, but regardless of the source, he was grateful for it. He halted the group by the doors and took a moment to peer through the small window. His view was limited, offering only a glimpse up a single side aisle where a couple of zombies were about halfway down. Kelly gestured with his hands to signal the men that he intended to eliminate them while they covered the flanks. They nodded in understanding, and he led them forward. Upon opening the door, it immediately collided with a zombie right beside it. Fortunately, the impact struck the creature in the back, giving Palmer the opportunity to swiftly draw his knife and dispatch it silently. Howard and Wallace moved to the right, stopping an aisle away from the main corridor, reluctant to venture into the primary artery of the store. They had a view down the back wall aisle, where they could discern faint movement at the far end. Howard peeked around the corner of the shelving, observing the main aisle with a couple of dozen creatures scattered about, roughly 30 yards away. He examined them closely and noticed that one of the zombies wore military fatigues. He signaled to Wallace that he had identified a potential runner. They both nodded before stepping around the corner, taking aim at the approaching horde. They knew that firing would set the zombies into a frenzy, but taking out the runner was their top priority. Corporal Howard squeezed the trigger, sending a round toward the runner. Unfortunately, the creature stumbled just as the trigger was pulled, causing the bullet to narrowly miss its target. The zombie soldier turned and immediately sprinted in the direction of the noise, with the rest of the horde following suit. The speed of the runner prompted Howard and Wallace to fire rapidly, desperate to eliminate the immediate threat that was closing in rapidly. Gunshots reverberated throughout the store as bullets flew up the aisle. Several rounds found their mark on the runner's chest and neck, with one landing a fatal blow when the creature was within 10 yards of the duo. The zombie collapsed face first onto the floor, sliding along the ground and stopping just a few yards short of Howard and Wallace. Howard turned to signal Kelly and Palmer. "Got the runner," he reported. Sergeant Kelly replied, "Let's hope that's the only one. Now move." The two groups ventured deeper into the zombie-infested store, surrounded by the haunting moans coming from every direction. Chapter 4. Sergeant Kelly and Private Palmer rushed along the backside of the store, their hearts pounding in rhythm with the gunshots echoing from the other side of the building. Corporal Howard and Private Wallace were in the midst of intensifying their battle, strategically luring the creatures toward them to clear a path for the sergeant. The duo reached the sidewall, taking a sharp corner and finding themselves face to face with several zombies in one of the store's aisles. Kelly's keen eye caught sight of the surrounding shelves, revealing that they were currently in the sporting goods section. "Now we're cooking," Sergeant Kelly murmured as he snatched a baseball bat off the rack. He advanced with a casual stride, lifting the makeshift weapon overhead and then swinging it down with brutal force, crushing a zombie's skull before him. He stepped over the now lifeless corpse and moved on to the next one, repeating the deadly rhythm. As Kelly dispatched this group, Private Palmer remained vigilant, watching their flank with a wary eye. Moments later, a zombie clad in bloody military fatigues appeared around the corner, emitting an excited moan before sprinting toward Palmer. In swift response, Palmer raised his weapon and fired multiple rounds at the approaching threat. The sudden explosive gunfire startled Kelly, causing him to turn just in time to witness the zombie soldier tackling Palmer, sending them both crashing to the floor. They skidded to a halt a mere few feet from Kelly. "Oh shit, Palmer," Kelly exclaimed, rushing behind Palmer to assist. The private grappled with the thrashing zombie on the ground, struggling to keep it at bay. Kelly grabbed the zombie by the back collar of its shirt, holding it up to give Palmer some breathing space. In a matter of seconds, Palmer shoved his handgun into the zombie's face and pulled the trigger. The back of the zombie's head exploded in a gruesome fashion, and brain matter splattered onto Kelly. He could only stand there, shaking his head at the guilty-looking private. "Sorry about that, Sarge," Palmer offered apologetically. Kelly shook his head, tossing the lifeless ghoul aside. "Come on, Palmer." Sergeant Kelly vented his frustrations on the next zombie in their path, delivering a brutal baseball bat strike to its skull. For good measure, he struck it a couple more times while it lay on the ground before discarding the makeshift weapon. Palmer wisely chose to remain silent, keeping his weapon at the ready as Kelly raised his rifle, and the two soldiers advanced toward the store's center aisle. They peered down and witnessed a few dozen zombies shuffling in the opposite direction, drawn by the sound of gunfire from their comrades. Before they could proceed, a voice crackled over the radio. "Private Sutton here. Sarge, you there," came the voice. "What is it, Sutton?" Kelly responded. "We're up top, and it's a shit show. There's 1,000 of those things near the interstate, and headed our way," Sutton reported. "Damn it," Kelly muttered. "We can keep popping off rounds to pull them our way, but we're going to need a constant distraction if we're going to hold them here," Sutton added. "Understood. Just do your best, and we'll be up soon," Kelly replied. "What do you want to do?" Palmer asked. "We need to get those front doors secured so we can have some time to shop. If that mob pushes in here, we're just going to be camping out on top while the horde moves right on by us," Kelly responded. "I'm on your six. Let's do this," Palmer nodded. The two men continued to push forward toward the front of the store, reaching the end of the main aisle. They looked up and spotted a mob of creatures just beyond the front doors. Some of the zombies were pressing against the doors, trying to squeeze into the vestibule and make their way inside. Kelly let out a sigh when he noticed that one of the vestibule doors had been completely destroyed under the weight of the zombies. It had crashed down, allowing the creatures easy access to the store. "We're going to have to secure the outside doors," Kelly decided. Palmer questioned, "How? There's 2 dozen of those creatures in there. How are we getting to it?" "You're going to have to be a distraction," Kelly replied. Palmer raised an eyebrow, saying, "You mean I'm going to have to be bait?" Kelly gave a wry smile. "I was trying to make it sound a little less grim." "Appreciate it," Palmer responded. Palmer scanned the front of the store, noticing that there wasn't much movement near the registers. "That's my play. I can get up on there, create a little noise, and pull them in my direction. I'll go far enough over so that I'm not in the line of sight of those things outside," Palmer suggested. "I'll take care of the stragglers and get those doors secure," Kelly assured him. Palmer nodded and moved out, keeping a low profile as he rushed toward the checkout line at the far end of the row. He hopped up onto the counter, aiming his rifle at a nearby zombie that was tangled up in a display. "Okay, you bastards. Let's do this," Palmer muttered as he squeezed the trigger, sending a spray of brains across the colorful clothing display. Instantly, several zombies inside the vestibule shambled through the broken-down door, eager to feast. Palmer took careful aim, systematically picking off his targets one by one. As he continued to fire, a sudden explosion erupted from the back of the store, catching him off guard. "What the hell?" Palmer exclaimed, turning to see smoke and flames billowing from the back corner of the store. He shouted back to Kelly, "Sarge, the place is on fire." Sergeant Kelly didn't hesitate. He knew they had to act quickly. "Find a fire extinguisher and put it out. If this building goes up in flames, we're screwed," Kelly ordered. Palmer fired a couple more rounds toward the zombies approaching him, hoping to draw even more of them in his direction. However, 6 remained in the vestibule, with even more just a few yards outside. Kelly assessed his nearly impossible task, securing 2 sets of double doors before the zombies overwhelmed him. He gritted his teeth and broke from cover, sprinting toward the still-functioning set of double doors leading to the enclosure. Crashing through them, he made a beeline for the doors on his left, which had a zombie pushing through. The creature's excitement turned to disappointment as Kelly swiftly dispatched it with a shot from his handgun. Dragging the lifeless body inside, he hastily pulled the doors closed and locked the deadbolt, just as the zombies outside reached it, their grotesque hands smacking against the glass. Turning his attention to the other set of doors, several agitated zombies pressed against them. Kelly lowered his shoulder and slammed into the door opening toward him, pushing it back to the center. However, another creature on the other side pushed the door open and reached for him. Kelly raised his handgun and fired at point-blank range, dropping the creature between the two doors. As more zombies reached through the opening clawing at him, Kelly had to use his body weight to keep the door in place while reaching across to grab the other door and pull it as closed as possible. Struggling to maintain his position, Kelly noticed that several zombies that had gone after Palmer were now shambling back in his direction. He used his free hand to aim his handgun, firing at the approaching mob. Despite dropping more than a dozen creatures, some of his shots missed due to the relentless assault by the undead trying to break down the doors. Finally, his gun clicked empty, and half a dozen zombies were still closing in on him. Kelly began to lose his grip on the door as more creatures pressed against it. He reached down for his rifle, but it was pinned against his back and the door, making it impossible to free. He glanced at the zombies inside, mere yards away from him and closing fast. "Damn it," Sergeant Kelly muttered. Kelly instinctively launched himself back from the door, freeing his rifle, which he brought up swiftly, firing rounds as quickly as he could. A hail of bullets cut through the zombies inside the store, dropping them one by one. He then turned his attention back to the door, which had been violently thrown open. Kelly managed to take down a few more zombies, but he was now facing an overwhelming horde. Over 100 ghouls lining up outside to push their way inside, and the bullets seemed to do little to slow their advance. His gun clicked empty, and he hurriedly reloaded, a sense of urgency settling in. As he reloaded, he heard more shots ringing out to his right. Glancing in that direction, he saw Howard and Palmer concentrating their fire toward the door, taking down ghoul after ghoul in the doorway. Suddenly, Wallace sprinted in from behind them, clutching a couple of lit pipe bombs. With a quick toss, he sent them sailing just over the heads of the zombies at the door, landing them 10 yards deep into the crowd. "Fire in the hole!" Wallace yelled. Moments later, there were two deafening explosions just outside the door. The blasts tore through the front of the mob, knocking several zombies down and creating an opening in the horde. It provided some relief from the pressure by the door. Without wasting any time, the soldiers rushed forward, firing at the remaining zombies near the doors and shoving their lifeless bodies out of the way to allow the doors to shut. As the deadbolt latched, they doubled over, breathing heavily from the intense encounter. "Are we clear in the store?" Sergeant Kelly asked. "For the most part. Need to do a sweep for stragglers," Corporal Howard replied. Kelly couldn't help but ask, "What the hell happened back there?" Wallace chimed in. "Sorry, Sarge. We were getting our asses kicked and needed a little pick-me-up." "And that involved setting the store on fire?" Kelly inquired further. Private Palmer reassured him. "Don't worry. I got it put out. Turns out this place has a large selection of fire extinguishers. Let's hope they have a large selection of noisemakers, because we're going to need something to hold these things in place," Kelly remarked. Private Palmer wore a sly grin on his face and hinted, "I think I have just the thing." Several minutes later, all but Private Manning stood atop the supercenter. Along the rooftop's edge, battery-powered toy fire helmets were neatly lined up. Each had a flashing light on top and emitted a loud, ear-piercing siren from a small speaker. As the men looked out over the sea of creatures swarming the store, Palmer gleefully sported one of the hats, a goofy grin on his face. "Don't hate just because you don't know how to have fun," Palmer quipped, oblivious to the bemused stares of his comrades. All Sergeant Kelly could do was laugh as he walked away from the group, pulling out the radio. "Captain Nelson, do you copy?" Kelly radioed. "Go for Nelson," came the response. "Supercenter is secured. We have diversions set up to hold the mob here. Less than 5% are wandering away from the horde," Kelly reported. "Excellent news, Sergeant," Captain Nelson acknowledged. "When can we expect reinforcements?" Kelly inquired. "Several hours at least. The fight is ongoing at the warehouse. Nothing we can't handle, just time-consuming," Captain Nelson explained. "Well, save a few bullets, because you're going to need them to get us out of here," Kelly replied. Understood, Sergeant, Captain Nelson replied, and the radio line went silent. Kelly turned back to his men, who were enjoying this momentary respite. Private Manning emerged from the hatch in the roof, carrying a heavy canvas bag filled with supplies. He rushed over to help Manning with the load. Appreciate it, Sergeant, Manning said. Kelly inspected the bag's contents, finding an abundance of chips, candy, and a couple of six-packs of beer. Manning wore a sheepish expression. I mean, if we don't drink it, someone else will, Manning justified. Kelly chuckled. Okay, but no more than two each. We might still have to fight later today. Manning grinned as he carried their rewards over to the rest of the men. Meanwhile, Sergeant Kelly walked over to the edge of the store's rooftop, gazing out toward the parking lot and the sea of ghouls beyond. More and more of them were emerging, drawn by the noise. There was no real happiness, no sense of celebration, only the relief of having survived another day. Their future held more combat. But for now, they had managed to endure. The end was nowhere in sight. But they clung to the hope of making it through the next nightmare that crossed their paths. The end.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.